B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well. Now it's back at home, back to the couch, and back to television. Listen, I've had so many people on my case asking me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? I watched about 6 episodes of this show, and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. White people! What's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone. The show is crazy, but it's so crazy you kind of keep watching. One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying. Take care, and I hope you find something better to watch.
Back to you guys.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. And that is O.J. Simpson saying stuff about white people who he's completely unfamiliar with. If you know anything about O.J. Simpson, what is this white people with tigers? I mean, what would O.J. Simpson possibly know about white people?
I think in the People versus O.J. Simpson, the TV show, the only other black character is Johnny Cochran.
Yes.
I think that, like, just like everyone, like friends, relatives, every other, like, attorney. I'm thinking about it. It's like, I think that, like, if you just watch the movie they made about him, I believe he might be one of 2 African Americans actually in the cast.
Yeah, he was married to a white woman. He's surrounded. That was part of the thing with him, is that he was surrounded by white people, and that and so hearing him say that is absolutely fascinating to me. What is it with white people and tigers? Well, I don't know, OJ. You tell me. You have more white friends than I do. You tell me what's going on. Well, here we are. We are, Rich and I are on location. They don't value John's life as much. He's there in the Town Fair Tire Studios.
Although he's got the whole pad to himself. Like that big, he's in this big room, and he's the only one sitting there in it. And then in the other studio, you've got Dan and Tracy. And I'm imagining Nick is still in the one there, so everyone's kind of in their own glass box.
It's the 3 of them. Nick is sitting in that room as well.
Yeah, Nick is now he's got dual unimportant jobs. He's not only working the Twitch, which obviously is of no consequence right now, but he is also answering phones. So that is what his duties entail right now.
So they haven't figured out a way to answer the phones in the other room?
Nope.
Okay. I think that might be kind of important.
It's on the list, Rich.
I mean, way down.
Listen, I understand that it's been somewhat chaotic.
Nothing's going to happen anytime soon. I mean, we're in a situation now that I don't think that they're overly concerned with those things, which I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. Don't blame them for that. They are, keeping people out of the station.
Yeah, so keep Nick busy. You know, make sure you call in. You know,
keep him busy. So you're mad at me.
You're right. We got to check in on him. I know yesterday we did a replay of Mark Gemelli, Nick's dad, we all love. And he, we at the very beginning of all this, we looked in on him. But, I mean, times have changed. You know, it's weird. Like, even like even like my mother who, you know, lives by herself, I got to make sure that I check in, you know, regularly, because that's got to be weird. Like if you're like old and you live by yourself and like you can't like socialize or do anything like that, we got to see how our man Mark Jamelli's doing. Hopefully he's holding up okay.
Yeah, I want to know when I'm having my first Manhattan.
By the way, Nick, can you send me the thing for the phone screener to my Yahoo address? Because this is insanity. I can't get anything to open off this stupid Beasley garbage. Like, any link doesn't work.
Yeah, you have to, like, sign into some thing and get, like, you know, your rights to your firstborn.
Everything has to be authorized.
I don't get it. So just, I don't understand it. And by the way, I've never gotten more emails in my life, not from the station, but don't worry about it, Nick, I got it. But from things telling me that there's ways to get things. Here's a bunch of crap you don't want. Here's how to get it.
Well, the biggest deluge of spam email was when businesses, like the whole coronavirus thing was just breaking and the quarantining was just starting, but businesses were still open. And it was all of these places like, hey, here at the Crocs store, we're making sure that our Crocs are disinfected with every person that goes and walks in the store in case you want to buy Crocs. And you realize, like, how did I get on the Crocs emailing list? Like, like any place you ever either bought something or was owned by the company in which you bought something, all of their affiliates, you ended up getting emails that, hey, us here at Garanimals, if you need to get yourself some overalls for your 2-year-old, then just know we've got this whole place on lockdown and squeak clean. If you could rest assured, you're not going to get sick buying Garanimals.
Yeah, and it's like everything that you have, it says, like, here's a coronavirus. And you're like, I don't care what AT&T has to say about the coronavirus. Like, what do you got that going?
and everyone felt the need to release some sort of statement. I know that you have to do that, but then I'm just like, why am I getting these emails?
Yeah, exactly.
It's one after the next.
The Newton tennis courts are all closed.
Oh.
So there you go.
As a matter of fact, Fred, yesterday, because of, you know, everything had been going on, I mean, it's 2 weekends in a row where Castle Island and that area has just been slammed. So finally they had to say, we're closing all of the parking lots as well for any of these parks. So like you can't like drive down there. They'll ticket you. They'll tow you. They still have resisted. And we had Marty Walsh on earlier. They've resisted having to do the fining of people if they're out in public in large groups.
But that's like martial law. I agree.
Not
with
giving
you.
Someone. Not, I mean, listen. They should have to do it. And Marty Walsh's thing is these people shouldn't be that dumb to do it on their own.
Right.
And we shouldn't have to do this. But at some point, if it continues, I don't mind giving them like a $200 fine.
Seriously, yeah, though, guys, did you see that story out of Toronto yesterday where they had to close 3 cemeteries?
Oh,
because people were unloading bikes and not picnicking, but just hanging out in groups.
Well, cemeteries are not, because they're closing all the parks, so people can't go and they can't congregate there. But people figured out, well, if we can't go to the park, there's a giant plot of land over here.
Exactly.
There's
having
to be a bunch of dead bodies
in
there.
Well, I mean, there's some cemeteries, for lack of a better phrase, that aren't filled all the way in. You know what I mean?
right.
Hang out in the cemetery and the corpses. Mm-hmm. But, there's a point where it's like martial law. I don't know. It's I don't know. You can't play tennis. Because I'm just talking off the top of my head because I just was looking at my email and it says that you can't play tennis. So I guess that is something that they feel is bad. So not that it affects me, I don't care, but I don't know why people playing singles would be overly concerning, but there you go. Tis the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Tis the world we live in.
Now are you guys, is the school thing been insane for you guys? Or because for me it's been non-stop.
Yes.
Like the second I get off the air, it has been, I'm teaching the kids. I'm giving them all the schoolwork. I'm having to figure out math that I haven't done in forever, in ways that I never did it. And then I've got to watch these videos with the kids. I mean, it is, you are on top of doing a your regular job, you are also a full-time teacher if you have kids and you're in school. Are you guys having that issue?
Yes.
I don't do it. Yes. My wife does it.
See, I have to do it because we have to split up the kids.
That's the thing. We got a tag team. My wife is working full-time from home also, so she takes the morning shift while I'm here, and then when I get home, the next 4 or 5 hours is me.
That's exactly the same with my wife. She's working as
hours.
Well.
Yep.
Oh, no, that's too much.
It's not all teaching, Fred, but it's getting structured activities together, you know, including building in like a half an hour for lunch, trying to make it as much like a school day as possible.
Wait, so they start when you're at work and then you do 5 hours after that?
Well, right now the kids have 8:30 to 9:30 like a Google Meet with their teachers, and then there are assignments afterwards.
Yep, and then we have another one at 3. It's two different meetings. So there's one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and in between the entire time, they're supposed to be watching these videos.
Yeah, they're online, taking these quizzes. Like math things, a program called or a website called Freckle that they use for math, and it's a lot.
No, everyone is telling me that during this thing, that's too much.
Oh, I agree it's too much, but that's what they're making the kids do.
Well, your kids go to a fancy private school.
Oh, John's don't. It seems to be the same thing.
Mine goes public. Mine's public school kids.
But that's where they have fast food restaurants. Manny on line one, go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Hey, Fred.
I just wanted to congratulate you on your new look. It works for you. Nothing bad about that.
I shaved my head, and it's going to be a kind of a calendar, like an advent calendar of how long this goes on. Because
I took a little inspiration from you, Fred. I did the same thing, except I did the mohawk, and my grandson, he kind of flipped out a little bit. I just wanted to say, Fred, at some point today, we need more Saved by the Bell in these trying times. So if you could do a little more Saved by the Bell, you know. I'd appreciate it. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. I've been watching quite a bit of Saved by the Bell, but it's all washing over me at this point. I'm not getting the details in.
You're telling me you can't have one recap? You can't remember one episode specifically?
There are some that are stranger than others.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Teen Line one where they're doing it for profit, and Zach ends up Kelly's sister ends up falling for Zach,
mm-hmm.
and she's not that much younger than Zach, and I would say that she's better looking than Kelly, but
I don't remember that episode. I don't remember
when they
that
do
one.
It, when they do it for profit, or he gets with Lisa and Screech, and they do a Teen Line, and it costs money.
No, I don't remember that one.
And it causes all kinds of chaos because Zach thinks doesn't know it's Kelly, and then Kelly's sister calls in and says she's in love with someone, and Zach says to go pursue it, and it ends up that it's Kelly's sister, and then Kelly's sister is like younger, and then Zach has to act like a dork to get her to not like him anymore.
Wow. No, I don't remember that. The last episode I saw was 3 weeks ago where Kelly's father loses her job.
Loses his job, that's prom.
And at the end, yeah. Well, she can't go to prom, and Zach's like sitting at a picnic table with like a candle, and they dance out in the courtyard. That's the last one I saw.
And then you have to think to yourself, how much did it cost to go to prom, and why Zach couldn't foot the bill?
That's exactly true. Zach is loaded. How come he couldn't pay for her to go?
Yeah, Zach's dad's a hotshot computer salesman.
That's a good point.
And he can't pay for her to go to prom.
Yeah,
yeah. So you know she's got her
kind of boyfriend to you. On. My God.
Well, it doesn't fit the narrative. I mean, you know, she's got a sweatshirt that she's cut like the collar off of.
Yeah, Zach's a selfish prick. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Oh, I don't think that's the case. I think that Zach was very romantic.
Pay
that
the
episode.
Money, buy her a dress, walk inside.
Okay,
Jesus,
I will ask you this, John, and if you get this right, okay, I will give you a big kiss on the lips.
Okay.
What is the line that Kelly says three times in that episode?
No, yeah, I don't know the answer
think,
to that.
No,
one.
No, no. Think. He takes her to the prom.
Yeah.
He comes to her house.
Okay.
To get her.
Yeah.
Think deeply about what the line is. It's not hard.
Oh, the only
it's
thing.
It's an emotion.
Zach, you're the best. Zach. Zach.
No, because it's not all Zach.
Oh.
It's an emotion. She thinks she's going to.
I love my life. Something along those lines. Or friends are the best. I can't even. I don't
she
know.
Says, I think I'm going to cry.
Oh.
She says it three times.
Oh.
Cry with sentimentality is what she says.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Rich, feel free to jump in anytime.
I've never watched Saved by the Bell. I know who these people are you're talking about. I know it. You know, put it this way. I know more about Saved by the Bell just from hearing you guys talk about it than I ever did before I met you guys.
You know what, John? I want you today to do a 90210 recap. I do.
You
and
do?
I will, yes, I do. I really do. And I will jump in.
Okay. All right, I'll see what I can do. Sure.
I mean, you don't. I mean, but it has to be like when the show got good before it was.
Yeah, year two or three. Yeah, right. When they get to be juniors and seniors in high school, the sophomore year you can throw out. Yes.
Yeah, because then they realized it in real life that they realized that oh boy, this sure. isn't working.
Sure.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well,
wait,
look.
Hang on 1 second, Howard. Go ahead.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Good morning. All right, I think that, well, in that episode of Saved by the Bell, when Kelly's father lost his job, she had to go work at the Max, and she fell in love with a guy who was the manager.
Oh, no, that's a different episode. Different episode.
Wasn't that why she couldn't go to the prom with Zach?
Well, there was a storyline that's very disturbing, is that she works at the Max, and she falls in love with a guy who is managing the Max, who is... And then he's a sophomore at, you know, UCLA or something. So they end up going together to Lisa's Sweet 16 party, which lets you know that this sophomore in college is dating a 15-year-old Kelly Kapowski. And you were supposed to ignore that whole point. When I wake up in the morning and the longest That is a very disturbing, because if you put the puzzle pieces together there, but he's on, I didn't remember this, but he's on like a solid three episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she like falls, she has to work, it wasn't the prom episode, but like she had to get a job, because she wants to do something like go on like a canoe trip or something. And so she, starts hanging out, working at the Max. Then she falls in love with this guy. And then they go to Lisa's Sweet 16 party, into which you're saying, you're a sophomore in college, meaning that you are about to turn 21. So, I don't think that was a good message for the people. Looking at my email right now. I'll tell you what, that country club won't give you a break on money. All right. What do we have coming up, Rich?
RKK saves the day.
Indeed, even for Jet fans. All right, we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
All right, well, let's get rolling. 98.5
All right,
the sports.
Well,
there
these are okay. Well, these are very short stop sets.
Yes,
I was just getting myself a Crystal Light, and
a nice,
apparently
Pepsi Clear. Do they still make a Crystal Light?
I drink Crystal Light every day.
Oh, I didn't know they still made it. I thought that was like a 1980s drink. I didn't know it was still out.
That is amazing. I went downstairs. I got ice, put Crystal Light in a glass, filled it with water, and came up, and the commercials were over. Quite a time we're living in. Everyone's going to get super rich. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, after weeks of being outbid by other states and having the federal government hijack much-needed masks and protective equipment for Boston's doctors and nurses on the front lines, Governor Charlie Baker enlisted the help of Robert Kraft and the Patriots organization, and now 1.2 million masks are headed to the state's hospitals.
Jonathan, honestly, we can't thank you and your dad and your family enough for answering the call and helping make this happen. And for the many, many dedicated frontline workers across this state who are battling COVID-19, on behalf of the people of Massachusetts every single day, this gear will make an enormous difference. Keeping our frontline workers safe is critical, not just to the success of our efforts to fight this virus, but to the commitment that I know we all here in the Commonwealth want to make to honor the commitment that they make to all of us and to our family members as they serve on the front lines.
And you may pick up your luggage at Carousel 4. Not the best place to have a press conference, right in front of a jet engine.
What's he crying? Boo-hoo.
Yeah, he got choked up there. But it was an awesome moment. So this whole thing
began. Be a man. Crying. Come on.
Maybe he was having just like stuff flying into his eye because of the jet engine
again.
I
would hope
that
so.
It was right behind him.
I wanted my governor to be a stable, manly man. Mm-hmm. I don't need some crying baby.
Yeah, come on there, Charlie Baker. Get some pierced nipples like Cuomo. Do what real men do. Get some barbells in there.
Cuomo knows what pain is.
He does.
he relishes it.
So this whole thing began about 2 weeks ago when Charlie Baker said that the federal government had confiscated a shipment of more than 3 million masks at the Port of New York that Massachusetts had arranged to buy. First of all, let that sink in, how bat crap insane that sentence was. The federal government.
The federal government has been fantastic during all of this.
Fred, they took away masks that were legally acquired for the doctors and nurses on the front lines in Boston.
The federal government, at least they ignored this for the longest time. So at least they had that going for it. When they could have been controlling it. And then people will say, well, Fred, you didn't think it was a big deal. Yes, because I was listening to the federal government. So, I'm not privy to the same information that they are. But I'll tell you what, the federal government, I have nothing but faith in them. Nothing. They I believe every word they say. I'm very interested in the ratings of the various press conferences that go on.
Number one on Facebook, Fred.
Yeah, that's important, the Facebook hit.
But this was great, because realizing he was screwed, Charlie Baker started reaching out to anybody, like all over the world. So he finally brokered a deal with these Chinese manufacturers, and at that point he realized he had no way of picking up these masks and supplies and started thinking about people who he knew had a plane. So he called Jonathan Crafts, and the Crafts then said, not only will we give you our plane, but we're also going to pitch in $2 million towards the supplies. So Baker said yesterday that nearly 1 million of the masks would go to the frontline healthcare workers here in Massachusetts, while about 100,000 masks are going to go to Rhode Island. That seems a lot for Rhode Island. Robert Kraft also personally purchased 300,000 N5 masks that he plans to provide to New York, the worst hit city in the country. Here is Robert Kraft yesterday on NBC.
When we were able to arrange for this N95 masks, over a million of them, I thought it would be great if we could do something to actually compliment Governor Cuomo's great leadership in the state. And so I wound up speaking to the governor of Massachusetts and said, would he allow us to give 300,000 of the masks to the people of New York City? And he immediately, Governor Baker, said yes. And I think that's so cool that a Republican governor wanted to do whatever he could to work with a Democratic governor in Cuomo. And in this time, this transcends politics and brings everything together. I personally have a deep affection for all the citizens of New York City. And in a way, I just thought it might be cool if the owner of the New England Patriots is doing whatever he can to help Jets and Giants fans have better health.
I just love it that even in the serious times, RKK is still in the house, man.
It's like, I thought it'd be cool. I thought it would be hip.
Mr. Craig.
I'm no square.
A couple of years ago, you're going to call me RKK. Okay.
Call him RKK, baby. I mean, I thought it would be pretty cool.
He's sitting in his study and he's just saying, I thought it'd be cool.
Well, I mean, so on top of that, a second shipment with the rest of the Massachusetts order, which totaled more than a million masks, it's going to be coming at a later date. And this thing played out, we were talking about this yesterday, like a spy movie. In order to get the plane there and back in the middle of a pandemic, the steps they had to go through, insane. John, didn't you say that they had to make like these multiple stops?
Yes.
On the way over
well,
there.
First, the plane had to stop in Ohio to get fitted to make a long trip. I mean, that's a long-ass trip to China. So they had to... avionically, as it was portrayed in the Wall Street Journal.
Well, you had to remove a lot of the seats. Like, yes. You had to turn it into a cargo plane.
Yes, exactly. Lessen the weight, make sure it could make it. And then they stopped in Alaska as well to refuel. And yep. Then they made it to China. When they made it to China, they only had 3 hours on the ground.
Yeah.
And they got everything on board in 2 hours and 57 minutes. And because of the coronavirus restrictions in that country, the personnel were not allowed to get off the plane. So if you're the pilot, you stop and refuel in Alaska. You fly all the way to China. You're not allowed to get off the plane and stretch your legs. You have to sit in the plane.
Well, I don't want to get off
for 3 hours.
Hell no! I'm not getting off the plane in China. No way. I'm
get a mask on and stretch your legs on the tarmac, man.
Nope.
Seriously.
Doors are open.
I'm staying on the plane.
Well, the doors are open. I mean, there's people bringing stuff on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, it would be cool.
Listen, pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Well, yesterday, the governor of New York, an aficionado of Pierce Nipples, Andrew Cuomo, he praised Robert Kraft for his help getting masks to all of his constituents.
Listen, I think that was the only good call I've gotten in about 10 days. Mr. Kraft is a special man, and what he did here is just pure generosity and goodness. Governor Baker, my colleague in Massachusetts, he's a good friend. We have a good working relationship. For a governor to say, I'll help another state besides my state, that really says something about his character.
You know what I think it is?
Pretty cool.
But yeah, so good on them. What a cool story. Great story.
He did it great. And I like how there's people peeing on him for.
Oh, Jemele things. Hill?
Yeah. Well, I'm not
begging for someone to notice her.
I don't know why you're mentioning her name, but
I know that was a lapse in judgment. I don't want to even give her any kind of publicity, but
I mean, the guy did a good thing. I don't know why you have to crap on him for other things, but
oh, by the way, that's the other thing. So
you can't let one thing. You can't let things. You can't just go, hey, that was great.
You're right. You had to nitpick. Everyone's wound up right now for it, like really wound up. If you haven't noticed, I put something on. I tweeted out the story, and I put slow clap to Robert Kraft for getting this done. Good stuff. And people are like, why is it a slow clap? What have you guys ever done? And I'm like. Maybe you don't understand what the term slow clap means.
Here's the thing. Just don't use the term slow clap.
You know, that's like that. Go, that's the thing.
That's incredible. It starts the big deal.
Why is it slow? But what have you guys ever done to help anybody?
Maybe you don't use the term slow clap.
Yeah, whatever. It was like a 2 second thing. I see the story. I want to get it out there. Right, slow clap. Just put it out there.
Maybe not slow clap. Maybe you just go, hey, here we go. This is a nice
hey, here we go. Here's the story.
Yeah, right. All right, John, are you getting ready for your 90210?
What do you want to do? You want to do it next?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting ready. I just saw an episode about a month ago. Last one I saw. Yes.
Yeah, you get ready. You get that. You load that gun.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Rich, what do we have coming up?
Oh, we got more of the ways and means of what Tom Brady's doing, and a kind of interesting proposal from the NBA on how they might proceed ending the season. This is legitimate. An interesting thing that they've proposed to end the season.
All right, we will have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, like a diamond in the middle of a dog turd, Tom Brady just rented a mansion in Tampa Bay. But this is no ordinary mansion. It's Derek Jeter's mansion. 30,000 square feet of fun, 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, an entertainment room, billiards room. It wraps around with a pool and 2 boat lifts providing access to Tampa Bay. And it's all 10 feet from a pawn shop and a strip club, just like everything else in Tampa. But Derek Jeter has a nickname for his house that doesn't induce douche chills at all. You know what he calls it? St. Jetersburg.
Yep.
I wonder if that's on the mailbox.
He's a saint because he keeps banging girls past their primes.
No. You're thinking of A-Rod. Derek Jeter was the king. He was the one with the gift basket. He had Jessica Alba, and I mean, I think his list is from Friday Night Lights.
I never was a big... I think Jessica Alba obviously is a very pretty girl, but I never got the infatuation with her. She wasn't like strikingly beautiful in my eyes.
I think Derek Jeter's list of girlfriends is like about as impressive as it gets.
Okay. I was thinking of A-Rod. Yeah, well, Dan on line 2. Go ahead. Oh. That wasn't a good call.
Okay, according to, Derek Jeter's girlfriends. Well, first of all, Mariah Carey, but that was Mariah Carey in her prime. Tyra Banks, Jordana Brewster, Scarlett Johansson, Vanessa Minnillo.
Who's Jordana?
Jordana Banks. Brewster, she was the, what's his name, sister in the Fast and the Furious
Dominic Toretto's sister.
Dominic Toretto. Yes.
Brewster's Millions?
No, I don't think she's
She part of the reboot of Dallas for a while?
You're the guy who watched it. I have no idea.
It's on TNT. You're flipping by. I was like, hey, that's that Fast and Furious woman. Yes. Yep.
Jordana Brewster. Scarlett Johansson, you apparently was with. Vanessa Minnillo. Adriana Lima. Jessica Biel.
These people are. Jessica Biel, who's now a very strenuous relationship with Justin Timberlake.
I know. He was holding someone else's hand.
I think it might be more than that we don't know about.
Minka Kelly, that's her name. She's the one for Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah, she's done a lot since then.
Okay. Well, yes. So she's on the list. On top of that, we'll of course get to see Tom Brady on golf on TV soon, so we'll all be excited. In other Tom Brady news, Brady has his backup, Blaine Gabbert.
Hey, Gabbert.
That's right. Favorite of John Gruden and no one else. Gabs is going back to the Bucks on a 1-year deal, and no one could be more excited than
Gabbert.
Tom Brady, because he won't be challenged in the least if he ends up screwing up. He'll never be as loved as Foles was for John Gruden. There, he's Gabbert.
Hey, Gabbert!
Mm-hmm. John on line one, go ahead.
Hey, you guys. Just calling in, talking about, you know, Robert Kraft with the mask from China and how you guys might think how that plays into how people feel about him.
Well, I mean, you're going to like him a lot more. I mean, how you can't like what he did is...
Well, what's the other side of that?
Well, yeah.
What he's saying, if you look at the phone screeners, he's saying, is it a PR move over the Brady situation? And I would say, even if it is...
Oh, my God.
Then who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Right.
Now, I understand what you're saying. Well, I mean, there was even a video that went out from one of the nurses, I think, over at MGH. And she, you know, is wearing a mask, and she goes, "This makes up for you trading Tom Brady, or you getting rid of Tom Brady." And you know, everyone's obviously joking about that. But yeah, I mean, listen, if you think that he did that just because he needed positive PR, I mean, then okay, then fine. Who cares? They get the masks, and that's.
But
really...
why do they need that many? Okay, and I'm not saying this to be cynical, but why do they need that many masks?
Okay, like, and actually, it's not that. Believe it or not, that number. I don't know the exact amount of time, but you have to understand every time if you use an N95 mask correctly, and this is just because I've, you know, I know nurses who have used these and they've talked about this, you're supposed to put a new one on every time you go to a new person that you're dealing with. So it's like a constant ballet of leaving a room, taking off your gloves, washing your hands, putting on new gloves, putting on a new mask, and going in. Because you know, because somebody put it, think of it this way. Let's say you have two coronavirus patients that you're dealing with. One is healing, and maybe one is, you know, has gotten rid of the virus, and then you go treat somebody else, and with the same mask, there's something that's on it that might infect somebody else, or you might get infected. You know what I mean? It's like it's a constant. You don't use the same mask all day,
right?
Just like
because
you don't use the same gloves.
Because just because there's not like a billion people that have the coronavirus, you
right?
Know what I'm saying?
And you're so constantly like, changing and throwing them away. As a matter of fact, they were like the nurses were complaining because a lot of these places were. You know, if they had no mask, they were trying to rewear them, and they were basically saying, you can't. Like, the hospital's like, you can't rewear these things because they're not any good. Now, there was something I saw this morning on the news that is a game changer, and somebody has developed, I think in Somerville, there's like a whole station set up, a way to decontaminate these masks. So they're doing those constantly, they're almost like recycling these masks but decontaminating them first.
Yeah, Rich, there's
a better word, yeah, sanitizing them.
Up to 80,000 per day, they're going to have the ability to do that. So the mayor took over an empty storefront, you know, Kmart in Somerville in order to do this.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that's a game changer.
One of four in the country.
Yeah, because the thing is that, you know, there's not like a ton of coronavirus you know, situations here. So I was just wondering why.
Yeah, that's why that number is needed, because there's multiple, obviously need multiple for each person that you have in there.
Right.
So there's that. Well, the NBA is still trying to salvage a season that, as the days go on, seem to be less salvageable. But according to the Globe, NBA executives have floated the idea of bringing all 30 teams to Las Vegas, attempting to finish out the regular season and the playoffs in one central location. Now, Vegas has several arenas that can house basketball. You've got the T-Mobile Arena, Thomas and Mack Center. There's a bunch of them. But with each team having approximately 20 games left, it would be nearly impossible to finish the entire regular season. So it sounds like what they're discussing is to slice the remaining regular season schedule to 10 games. That also allows for playoff clinching teams to prepare for the postseason. So what they're saying is the best answer is for the NBA to play 10 games over a 20-day period. The league, wishfully, would allow teams to begin practice on July 1st, giving each team 10 days to work out before traveling to Vegas. The remaining 21 days of July would consist of playing those regular season games, and obviously they would have to determine all the matchups and all of that stuff in 10-game schedules, but then the playoffs would begin in August, which each of the 16 teams playing five-game first-round series, just like the 80s and 90s. I love it. I love that part of it. The second round would consist of seven games with back-to-back games. Now, since there's no travel and everyone's in Vegas, you know, teams don't have that as an excuse for being fatigued. And the goal is to finish the season in late September, hopefully avoiding too much intersection with the NFL and college football. Now, this is, I know that they have to plan, but it does seem like you really can't do anything concrete. You know, it's almost like the virus dictates the deadlines. And so, but I like the fact that unlike the NFL, who doesn't seem to have any contingency plan right now, the NBA is at least on the forefront saying, okay, here's what we're going to do if by this date we're able to play basketball. And I haven't heard anything like that from the NFL. And I know that yesterday there was a back and forth. The NFL was like full guns ahead. And then they had a doctor come out and say, yeah, we're not going to be able to do that until we start testing people before they're able to come to the stadiums and play. But I don't mind that. If they did that, that'd be kind of interesting to watch. Everyone in the same location with these games on back-to-back nights in the second and third rounds.
That's not a terrible idea, all things considered. I mean, if you really want to get this done and crown a champion and, you know, give the virus as much time as you can to kind of burn itself out, then, yeah, I mean, I guess Vegas with 120-degree temperatures in the desert in July and August is a way to do it.
Hey, man, it's a better-than-nothing situation. I think the NBA knows it. And the thing is, too, is that, you know, all the networks would still be on board. The ratings would be huge for something like that. So for what they – and they haven't – now, the one thing they haven't mentioned, and I'm assuming that they mean this, is that these would probably be crowdless.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Yeah,
at this point,
you would think so.
The liability alone would be shocking.
My notion is that people will start getting back to work and things like that, but they will not allow mass events. Is what I would hypothesize.
And Fred, I don't mean to break your heart, but I think there's rumors that today it's going to be officially announced that the Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Joan Jett, and Poison Tour is kaput.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Because it's the only thing I wanted to see.
It's your only happiness this year, is to see Vince Neil fumble around stage.
But, you know, if they come back next year, he'll just be worse off.
If he comes back.
Right. If he's still alive. But the, because it was the one thing I wanted to see. So, of course. It's all about me.
But I mean, do we have time to take a call? Line one, I have to hear this.
Right, let me see what we got here. Line one, Dan, go ahead.
I just want to say that people are human garbage right now. I just tried delivering to a nursing home in a town that rhymes with Parlington, and some woman comes out of her house screaming at me in pajamas. You woke me up. You woke me up. You can't be coming. Lady, I don't want to be working right now, driving around. I mean, are you kidding me? I'm trying not to get sick, and here you are coming up yelling at me? You have no time. Oh, she called 911 and everything. It was great. Oh, I
hope you guys get that call. 911 because you woke her up?
Yeah, because, I mean, I drive a truck, and the backup alarm goes beep, beep, beep. Well, sorry. These people need their stuff. They're in a nursing home.
I don't care if they don't need anything. I don't care if they don't. I don't care if you were doing. If you were on a joyride.
Oh, I hate people. Oh my God!
Of course, people are terrible. And I don't care if you were on a joyride.
And a nursing home of all things too. How dare you deliver food?
But it doesn't matter. Even if he was just in a truck screwing around. You woke me up. I'm going to call 911.
What did it rhyme with? Arlington?
It's Arlington, obviously. Yes. But can you imagine someone wakes you? How many times have you been woken up? You got woken up. You're going to call the police? The police, you got woke.
Can she not go to work? Wow, woke up for what? Like, what are you sleeping? No, like, what are you doing today?
There's no, it doesn't matter. The situation with her does not matter at all.
Just 911. We got to do that next.
You called the police because you got woken up. That is what you should do.
That's smart too in a pandemic to run outside and get in the face of a guy.
Well, I'll tell you, it's smart in any situation. Is that someone woke you up. The truck woke you up, so you call 911. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. It's too much.
I'll take calls like that all morning. You got a situation like that you want to vent about? Because the tension is so high right now. Anyone who has to be out and about delivering.
The tension is high with old people. They're always looking out the window and complaining around here. No one relaxes. Every old person, they're just always looking out the window. Look at seeing what's doing. I don't like it. He woke me up, called the police. The police, idiots. He should take his truck and he should just run around the neighborhood. I mean, he should just go take the truck and then just back it up all over the neighborhood. Wake her up five more times. All right, we got a break. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.